And now let's study the scriptures together. Today we are reading Parshat Bo Go. It's a book of Exodus, chapter 10 through 13, verse 6. This chapter from the Torah can be called the good news from Moses. I call it the Gospel of Moses. This chapter provides a complete picture of the future redemption and an obvious foreshadowing of the coming Messiah and his sacrifice. And I would like to ask you to open scriptures with me and to go together and to read together. So let's read these few verses from this chapter together. It is in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 through verse 13. We will take a couple of verses from this portion. So let's read Exodus 12, verse 5. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must watch over it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. They are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat it. And let's go to verse 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt, it is the Lord. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and strike down every firstborn, both man and animals. And I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Then when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So one more time, it's a very important place here. Verse 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, the Lord, I will pass over you. So there will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. What a prophetic picture. We see that the salvation and deliverance of the entire people of Israel and those from other people groups who decided to join the faith of the Jewish people came only through the sacrifice and the atoning blood on the posts of the doors where they were. It is so important to remember. Outside of the blood was a great sorrow. Death reigned because all the firstborn of Egypt were killed by the angel of death, and the blood was a protection for them. What is very important to see in this is that no matter who you were, a Jew or an Egyptian, a slave or a pharaoh, no matter how religious or not, the only place of salvation and safety was in the house that was protected by the sacrificial blood. It is very important to understand. This was a condition that the Lord Himself determined, and it was the only way of salvation, to be in the special house with blood on doorposts, the only way of salvation for Jewish people and for other nations who decided to join our people. You can ask me why. So I think that the Lord showed the coming great redemption on the second Passover, which was much greater than the first one. The Messiah must come, and only through the blood of the perfect sacrifice is there salvation and the opportunity to accomplish the great Exodus. Only through Messiah it is possible, only through Messiah. The first Passover is the exodus of the Jewish people from Egyptian slavery and the birth of Israel as a people with its own structure and laws and self-determination. That was the first Passover. The second Passover, the exodus from the most terrible slavery, slavery of sin and death, and the birth of a new people, children of God, who through accepting the sacrifice of the Messiah become a new creatures, free from eternal death and fear. I would like to keep your attention here. During the first Passover, first Pesach, more than 2 million Jews and those from other people groups left Egypt, more than 2 million people. And the second Pesach brought deliverance to millions of people all over the earth. The first Pesach took place once in history in Egypt. The second began more than 2,000 years later ago in Jerusalem and continues to this very day, more than 2,000 years. How much greater the second Exodus is. One of the greatest prophets of Israel, Yohanan the Immerser, we know him as John the Baptist, when he saw Yeshua coming to Jordan, he exclaimed, it is in John 1st chapter, verse 29. And if you can, please open with me and let's read together. John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And every Jew at that time, at that moment, at that place, every Jew who prayed for the coming of the Messiah and longed for a spiritual awakening understood the words of Yohanan. Everyone understood that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That a Redeemer must come who will bring healing to this world broken by sin. Only through Redeemer, the Messiah, it is possible. This is Tikkun Olam, the repair of the world. And without the Messiah, it is impossible. We can't change this world. Only Messiah can. The great rabbi of the first century, Shaul, we know him as Apostle Paul, wrote about the coming of Messiah. And I would like to read the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Get rid of the old hamets, so you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Again, for Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. This is very important to remember, the Messiah. Our Passover lamb, who opened the door for our salvation. He's the one. I would like to draw our attention to an important lesson from the chapter of the Torah. And this is very important to remember, especially in these days, especially today. Our expectation and our trust are in God, only in God. Please, I would like to tell you something very important. Please remember it. The sons of Israel prayed for deliverance from bondage and freedom from Egypt for so long. But when the answer came, it was not what they expected. They prayed for deliverance, but when answer came, it was different answer. They were waiting for a deliverer who would bring freedom to Egypt, like Joseph. And they would again live in prosperity. But Moses came, who led them in a different direction than their dream. And we can see that the more miracles and judgments were performed through Moses in Egypt, the more the heart of Pharaoh became hardened, and the more difficult it became for the children of Israel, because Pharaoh poured all his anger and cruelty on them, on the people of Israel. And even when they left Egypt, they did not go immediately into the promised land, but into the wilderness. I would like to read what happened with their expectations and their faith right after they left Egypt. It's very important to understand, to remember. It's in Exodus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24. And let's read together. So it's a beautiful picture here. Right after they crossed Red Sea, after a great victory over Egyptians, the Lord redeemed them from the Pharaoh and his army. And now they are in the very interesting position here. They saw miracles. They experienced a lot of miracles in their lives. Now, verse 20, Exodus 15, 20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. As Miriam said to them, "Sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." What a glorious moment for Israel. Rejoice, dancing, worship to Adonai. It's a beautiful picture. It's a wonderful time. Very special moment. But let's read what happened next. Verse 22. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Sea of Reeds. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. But they traveled 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Of course, it was wilderness. When they came to Marah, they could not drink from the waters because they were bitter. On account of this, it was called Marah, nothing to drink. So verse 24, what happened in 3 days? So the people complained to Moses, saying, "What are we going to drink?" After such miracles, Red Sea departed. They went through it. And now after 3 days, they forget about miracles of God. So the first part, verse 20, 21, was great. Worship and praise to the Lord for all his miracles and his salvation. But the second part, in 3 days, songs and dances across the Red Sea turned into tears and rebellion in the desert. And it continues for 40 years. Why? One of the answers, because God's plan and his answer did not fit with their expectations. It was different. They prayed for freedom. And when the Lord gave Moses, they didn't recognize deliverance from the Lord. Let's now see what happened much later in the history of our people. We know that our people prayed for the coming of the Messiah for such a long time. They prayed for salvation for all mankind for centuries. But when Messiah came, they didn't recognize him. Yeshua did not correspond to their ideas and therefore was rejected by many, many Jewish people. In John chapter 1, verse 10, I would like to read a few verses from here. John 1, 10. It is about Yeshua, the Messiah, Messiah of the whole world and of the Jewish people. John 1, 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own. He came to Jewish people because he is the Messiah of the Jewish people. He came to his own because he was the one who promised Sarah to give her son. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. And the world became flesh, and the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua the Messiah. The Jewish people expected Messiah as a king, son of David, the ruler who will conquer Rome and bring a freedom and prosperity to the Jewish people. But the first time, Messiah came as a Lamb of God, as a son of Joseph, from Isaiah chapter 53, who took our sins upon himself and who led us out of our spiritual slavery. It was the second Passover, the second Pesach, the great Pesach. What an important lesson for us here. We pray, we hope, we expect answers from God. But sometimes the answer may not be what we expected it to be. Our expectation in following God may not be entirely correct. Sometimes it happens in our lives. Remember the lessons of the Exodus. Remember this lesson. It's a very important lesson. Going out of Egypt was not an easy task. Crossing the desert was very hard work. Remember the lessons from the first century. Believers in the Messiah who lived in the first centuries experienced the most severe persecution and trials in their lives. But does this mean that God was not with them? Of course not. The Lord was with them always. I know one very important truth. It is truth. Our life is a long path, often filled with trials in our trust in God. But the Lord, through Yeshua, promised to be with us always, and especially in the valley of the shadow of death, as is written in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 4, I would like to read Psalm 23, verse 4. Please take it to your heart. It is so important to remember when we pray, when we wait from the Lord. Remember this. 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. The Lord does not say that we can avoid the valley of the shadow of death, but He promises to be our support and not leave us alone during the journey. He is always with us. It is so important to remember. He is always with us. And the second lesson for today, it's very important too, because it's the together with first lesson. It's very important to remember. The crisis in our life is not the end and not the collapse of everything. It is only a springboard and a new opportunity for the Lord to change our life. It is not end, it's only beginning. I know that we as a people, often when we are faced with difficulties, we want to give up. It seems to us that this is a dead end from which there is no escape. Why did Israel experience such difficulties? What was the reason? I know that many of the Jewish people, many of them, they thought that God left them. Some of them simply forgot about Him. Someone began to think that the gods of Egypt were stronger than their own God, and they needed to become like the Egyptians if they would avoid difficulties, to assimilate with Egyptians. But God's reality was a reality that most of the Israelites did not see. God had a wonderful plan for the people of Israel, and not only for them, but for all humanity. And He used trials to bring the Jewish generation into His plan, to give them a future that they have never seen or even dreamed about. It was a new future. It was a new plan. It was a God's plan, not their plan. In fact, is that God often sees us differently from how we see ourselves. And His plans differ from our plans for our lives. It is often the truth. I would like to read one place of scripture. It is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. Take it as prophecy into your life. It is so important to remember. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. The Lord, He is the ruler. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai. Plans for shalom and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Then I will be found by you, says Adonai. And I will return you from exile and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says Adonai. And I will bring you back to the place from which I removed you as the captives into exile. It is very beneficial for us to accept His vision for our lives. It is so important to accept His will. And please remember, if we are faced with difficult situations or difficult people in our life, and we want to run away or give up, or we lose hope and see nothing helpful ahead of us, that is the time we must fall back His vision, a vision for a new beginning, for a greater plan from the Lord for all of us here. It is very important to remember. Please look at the example of Moses, how Pharaoh opposed him, and how through this, how God was glorified. The Lord was glorified through difficult time, through victory. I want to draw our attention to the fact that the time of difficult circumstances in the life of our people, when it seemed that hope was lost, there is no way out. Sometimes God revealed Himself as at the very last moment. He tells us, I am here. I have not forgotten you. No matter how far you are from me, I continue to love you and take care of you. Please remember, He is always for you. This is His revelation to you. This is revelation for your life. Isaiah 49, verse 13 and 16. It is so remember for us. Isaiah 49, 13 through 16. But Zion said, Adonai has forsaken me. Adonai has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing baby or lack compassion for a child or her womb? Even if these forget, I will not forget you. Verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you on my palms of my hands, on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Yet it's about Zion, it's about Jerusalem. But does this sound like the prayers and crying of many of us today? Lord, where are you? The Lord is calling to you today. He loves you, wants to correct your life and bring His order to your destiny. Shema Israel, hear His voice. For some people, a crisis means the end of everything. Everything. A ruination of fate. But for God's people, on the contrary, it is an opportunity to glorify God, to grow in faith, to rise above circumstances. This is the time to glorify the Lord. Joseph, Moses, Isaiah, Elijah, Jonah, these people all overcame crises in their lives, finances, ministry, and each time lifted by their faith, they glorified God and paved the way for victory and fruitfulness. These people were people just like you and me. We are the same. They were in pain. They did not understand everything. They suffered, but they trusted God. No matter what. May I share some basic principles of behavior in times of crisis? When everything is confusing and there seems no clarity, what is happening around? What to do? So I would like to read few very simple ideas, few very simple steps for us today. So the first, it is so simple. It is so simple, but you know, it is so important for us. I would like to remind us because we know it. The first principle, trust God. If you can type it, please type it. Trust God. Type it in comments. Trust God. In very important place of scripture, 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. For everyone. I believe we are everyone. We are part of this everyone. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and the victory that has overcome the world is this, our faith. The victory is very simple, our faith, our trust to the Lord. Who is that overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Yeshua is Ben Elohim, Son of God? We believe that Yeshua is Son of God. We have this victory. The Lord gives us victory through Yeshua, the Messiah, our Passover lamb, our Pesach. We have victory. We are in Exodus from our slavery, slavery of sin and death. We are in Exodus to eternal life, life with Him, life full of blessings and His presence. What is faith? When should we rely on the Lord? When everything is going well and according to plan? Or when we have trials and confusion? When should you continue to trust and believe? I believe all the time is the proper time to believe. And especially when it's difficult, this is the super time to trust the Lord, to keep faith and trust in Him. The second principle, very simple and very important too. Rejoice and keep peace, keep shalom. Stay in your peace, peace from the Lord. Keep peace in your heart. Watch the inner man. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah 8, 10. The last part of this verse I would like to read here. For today is Kadosh to your God. This is the holy day to your God. Do not grieve, for the joy of Adonai is your strength. Do not grieve, for the joy of Adonai is your strength. This is the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of Ruach HaKodesh. This is the best time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what to do, I can tell you, the Lord knows everything. He's not surprised by anything. The Holy Spirit, He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He keeps us in faith, in trust in the Lord. The third principle, very simple but very important too. It is to serve God. Do not stop in your ministry to the Lord. Never, never stop. Pray, trust, ministry to others. This is very key principles for you. 1 Timothy 3:13. I would like to read it. Very important place of scripture for us. Verse 13. 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who have served well as servant leaders gain for themselves a good standing and great confidence in the faith that in Messiah Yeshua. I know a very simple principle. Very often, in order to get out of a difficult situation and get a breakthrough in our life, we need to be a servant to someone else. It is very important. And if you want to find an example in the scriptures, look at Joseph's life. He was always a servant. And he gained freedom through his ministry to the Lord when he was in prison. It is in serving another that you build your faith through serving, through ministry to other people. And I would like to finish from John chapter 10. Verse 10 and verse 11. Please remember this promise from the Lord. The thief comes only to steal. Our enemy, he comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And Yeshua, the Messiah, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for us. He opened the way through himself, through his death and resurrection. We have the second Exodus, the great Passover in our life. Passover through death and resurrection of our Messiah, our Lord Yeshua. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. And then we will return to the Painter home for a final worship song. So let's pray together. Let's receive from the Lord his blessing. Yevrecha ha Adonai v'eshmerecha, ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yaseh lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.